The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
We're singing, and what a blessing it is we get to hear him here at our church. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Notice that Spirit, capital S, talking about Holy Spirit. The Bible says in verse 2, "Being 40 days tempted of the devil, in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered." And when you think about loneliness tonight, you think about maybe several different types of illustrations. Maybe you would think about a middle-aged man sitting in a breakfast table, often would get up and fix coffee for his wife, and that morning he just fixed two cups of coffee, each would normally drink two, and he kind of stares out the window because now he's a widower and faces loneliness. You might be thinking about a college freshman, very first year at college, away from mom, dad, siblings. Often goes down to the mailbox, hoping that they would find just a letter from home. Opens the mailbox there in the dormitory area in the mailroom and is disappointed because it's always empty. And just longing to be able to see mom, dad, or sibling again, that's loneliness. You might think about maybe an elderly woman that sits in a chair all by herself, used to live in a nice house surrounded by memories, cherished memories, but now because of financial distress is reduced to a small apartment, had to get rid of most of her possessions, and she sits there and she stares at only the few possessions that's left, and just remembering some of the precious memories as maybe a loved one that's gone home to be with the Lord touched one of those possessions. Maybe from time to time, look out the window, just kind of hoping that a relative's going to pull up and come in and say hi. There's loneliness. You might think of somebody that had an extreme amount of talent. I mean, they were top of the charts when it came to being an employee, and all of a sudden, one day they go in and they get a yellow slip and it says that now your job is no more. We don't need you. Can't find another job. They try, but they can't find another job. They keep searching for one. And they face loneliness in their life as they're now unemployed. You know, even those that think, we think of many times, we think, boy, that's a well-connected person. You know, they're always smiling, they're jovial, they're having a good time. But oftentimes, many people cover up on the outside what they're truly feeling on the inside, and they're struggling with the reality of loneliness. It was Albert Einstein that said this. He says, it is strange to be known so universally and yet be so lonely. You know, people suffer from loneliness. ABC did a report, of course, you know, using that which is the University of California. The research was done over a period of 9 years, and it showed that when a person suffers loneliness, it has a greater impact on how long they'll live. Matter of fact, the death rate for a person that suffers loneliness is far more greater than a person that would die because of smoking, drinking, eating disorders, a lack of exercise. Matter of fact, they said that when a person is isolated and they're all alone, the death rate is twice as high for that person than it is somebody that's socially connected. Isolation is one of the very first things that God himself recognized that was not good. If you'll notice in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, the Bible says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone." He says, "I will make him and help meet for him." And so even God recognized at the very beginning that it was not good to be alone. You know, the heart of loneliness many times is because of disconnection. Sometimes a person that is lonely, all they want is to feel significant. All they want really is to be recognized. All they want is to be remembered. They want to make sure that maybe some aspect of their life counted for something. They want to make sure that they're known. So how is it that a person can face, listen to my wording here, and overcome loneliness? Statement number one, recognize that you are there by God's design. Recognize you're there by God's design. You know, you think about our Lord, the Bible says that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. God allowed his own son, yea, led his own son in the wilderness, and he was alone. Andrew Murray was a great missionary to South America. Now, he knew what it was like to submit to the Holy Spirit. If you read any of the books that he wrote, he knew exactly what it was like to submit to the Holy Spirit when there was difficult times, trying times, wilderness settings. Oftentimes, he would feel all alone. And in his book, he wrote about loneliness, and he said this. He said, when considering loneliness, he realizes that he, talking about the Lord, brought me here. He also realized this, that it's by his will that I am here. He said, therefore, I will rest in this. In other words, I'm going to rest in his will. I'm not going to fight against it. He said, it will keep me, he'll keep me here in his love and by his grace, and I will behave like one of his children. He said this, that I will make sure that I keep my eyes on Christ, for he will make this trial a blessing. He's going to teach me the lessons that he intends for me to learn in my state of loneliness. In his good time, he'll bring me out again. And how and when, he knows. And by the way, it's up to him. And so when a person suffers loneliness, it's not time for you to get mad at God. God knows exactly what he's doing. It's not time for you to begin to question God. You could say this, that when you're suffering loneliness, you could go along with maybe what Murray said and maybe develop your own saying, such as like this. It's by God's appointment that I'm here. God's keeping me here. God's got me under training while I'm here. And in God's good timing, he'll bring me out of here. And that is committing everything to God. You know, some of the most unfruitful times in your life, stay with my thought, is some of the most fruitful times in your life. You just can't see it. You learn more in the valleys than you do on the mountaintops. You learn more by walking through the valley of the shadow of death than you do by running through the valley or sitting down in the valley and having your own personal pity party. And so we understand this. There's nothing wrong, and it's quite human to wonder, why am I suffering such loneliness in my life? But God does have answers for us. You know, listen to a remarkable chronicle, if you will, in the book of Mark, in the passage starting there in Mark chapter 1 and verse 11. The Bible says, and there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, God just got done talking to his own son. He said, I want you to know, I love you, you're my beloved, and I'm well pleased with you. Now watch this. Mark chapter 1 and verse 12. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. You say, well, that doesn't sound like a loving father. A loving father would do many things that you might not understand, but it's because he loves you so much that he's trying to get you to understand him without looking at the circumstances that he created. God wants to fellowship with us. You think about, if you will, several other people in the Bible. There's Moses. Moses had a desire to free the Hebrews. That wasn't a bad desire. But the Bible teaches that as he had that desire to free the Hebrews from that which is the bondage they were in, that he was driven out into the wilderness. God did that. God allowed that. You think about Elijah. Elijah thought that he was leading a great revival in Israel. And then after the meeting at Mount Carmel, you'll find that he's fleeing into the depth of the wilderness and hiding. God has a hand in that. You think about Paul. Paul finally came to the understanding of that which is the true Christ, and that he needs to yield himself. And God prepared him. How did God prepare him? God prepared him by driving him into the wilderness of Arabia, if you will, for 3 years. You know, God has a hand in that. But inside of those wilderness journeys, you're going to find out that God has designed some isolated incidences for us to help us to get closer to Him. You know, when you feel lonely, the very first person you ought to turn to is God. The very first person that you ought to pray to is God. The very first person that you ought to ask for wisdom is God. Then ask God to show you the lessons He's trying to teach you while you're in that state of isolation. Statement number one, recognize that you're there by God's design. Statement number two, rest. Now watch this very carefully. Rest in who is there with you rather than regret who is not. Rest in who is there with you. When you find yourself in your own wilderness journey, then rest in who's there with you. By the way, that'd give you an opportunity to thank God for your friends more because they're there with you. That'd give you an opportunity to thank God for your spouse more because they're going through it with you. That'd give you an opportunity to thank God for your children or for your parents more. Why? Because they're there with you. I know people that go through different types of struggles and isolations, and can I tell you, it helps marriages to go stronger. It helps relationships to grow stronger. One of the reasons that we bonded so well, I do believe, with our children is because 12 years on the road, living in a vehicle, eating in the same places, sleeping in small hotel rooms, and starting off, not even that, but sleeping on church pews, sleeping in nurseries, sleeping on the floors of Sunday schools, and challenging times to begin with as an evangelist. And we didn't want to be a burden to anyone, so we just went to the Lord. Now, can I tell you that those times were times when the Wells family drew closer together because of the times that were difficult. Difficult times bring people closer together if there's a right relationship, and it doesn't push them further apart. Statement number one, I said, recognize that you are there by God's design. Statement number two, rest in who is there with you rather than regret who is not. You know, one of the blessings of finding yourself in a wilderness time is to recognize that there is people there with you. When you go to the hospital and that person's there. When you lose a loved one and you get that special phone call. When you're walking down the hallway and you're feeling sad inside, but you don't know how to tell anybody outside, somebody comes up, they give you an encouraging word, and it just makes things feel a little bit better. When somebody shoots you a text in the middle of the day and they say, just want you to know I thought about you today and I'm praying for you. Makes all the difference in the world. When you're having a hard time at school and all of a sudden dad comes up, gives you a hug and says, I'm proud of you, just keep it up. Those things make all the differences in the world. John chapter 14 and verse 16, the Bible says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may, watch it, abide with you forever. So God says, you're never really lonely. I've given you somebody to be able to walk beside you, to be able to be with you, and that is the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14 and verse 17, the Bible says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So you got something the world doesn't have. When you go to the dentist, you never really go alone. When you go to the doctor, you never really go alone. When you have been diagnosed with some tragic form of illness, you're never really facing it alone. When all of a sudden your loved one that you love so deeply passes away, you don't have to face that all by yourself. The Bible says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be with you. Psalm 23 and verse 4, the Bible says, as I quoted a part of it a moment ago, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now why? He says, for thou art with me. So even though you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you're never alone. He says, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Isaiah 41 in verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand of my righteousness. And so he's the one that can help you. When everybody else walks out, God is the one that walks in. Franklin Roosevelt had a very close person to him that advised him. His name was Harry Hopkins. Harry Hopkins, during World War II, was, they say, one of the greatest influencers of Roosevelt that he ever had. He was not a part of his cabinet. He held no official position. But Hopkins was Roosevelt's closest companion. As a matter of fact, they called him the Shadow. As a result of that, every time that Roosevelt went through a difficult time, Hopkins showed up. When a political foe would stand against him, Hopkins was always there for him. They said this, "Why do you keep Hopkins so close to you?" And he answered, he said, "One day you'll sit perhaps in the chair that I sit in." He said, "It's good to have somebody that comes in and expects nothing from you." He pointed to the door and he said, "You see that door right there? Everybody that walks through that door wants something from me. Everybody. But it's good to have somebody that walks through the door that doesn't want anything, just wants to be a friend." He said, "Hopkins probably is one of the greatest influencers in my life because he never asked for anything." Winston Churchill, talking about Hopkins in his book, he said, "One of a half dozen most powerful men in the world in the 1940s was Hopkins." Quiet, but important. Statement number one, I'm saying, how do you recognize loneliness? Recognize, or how do you see it and then overcome it? How do you be able to receive help with it? Recognize that you're there by God's design. Statement number two, I said, rest in who is there with you rather than regret who is not. Statement number three, realize that there are some times of loneliness and trials that only you and the Holy Spirit can understand. There are some times where you can't even explain it to your best friend. You feel lonely inside. You feel disconnected inside. You want to tell your wife about it. You can't explain it. It's just there. You want to tell your husband about it. You just don't know how because it's just there. You want to tell your parents about it, but you can't put it in words. I mean, it's just there. It's like a bad cold that you can't find a remedy to. The Bible says, and may I reiterate this, please, it says in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led." Now, he's full of the Holy Ghost. He's been walking with his Father. He is full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, "And was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." It says, "And being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when he was, when they were ended, he says, afterward hungered." And so here we see that here Jesus is being led, if you would please, by the Holy Ghost into a state of loneliness. Might it be that God wanted to spend time with him? Might it be that sometimes God allows us to go through lonely times just to get away from all the influences of man, just to say, "You're my child, you should be spending more time with me." Statement number next, rejoice that usefulness follows. Rejoice that usefulness, rejoice that usefulness follows the loneliness of the wilderness. Look in your Bible, we're in Luke chapter 4, verse 13. The Bible says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed, it says, from him for a season. Look at verse 14. And Jesus returned, watch the wording, in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. You mean he returned with more power of the Spirit than when he went into isolation? Yes. So God accomplished his purpose with his own son. Loneliness is not the challenge. The challenge is, what do you do when you're lonely? Loneliness is not the challenge. The challenge is, who do you get to know more when you're lonely? Loneliness is not the challenge. The challenge is, who are you going to spend more time with during those lonely hours? Jesus returned, the Bible says in Luke 4 and verse 14, in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Wasn't because he changed, it was because the one that's using him. When you yield yourself more to God, God can use you more. So here's what we have to understand. We must submit ourselves to the progress, the progression that God wants. You submit yourself to the progression that God gives you, then as you yield yourself to God, God can do more. Usually we are prepared to tell the Lord, hey, that's enough. That's enough now. I've learned the lesson. But you know, you don't really learn the lesson until God says you've learned the lesson. Well, I've done my best on the test, so I'm just going to turn it in. The teacher determines if the answers are right. And the answers are right only according to the answer key. The answer key, my dear beloved friend, is the Bible. You go back to the Bible, and there you'll see if you get your answers right or not. So the pattern is this. You think about Joseph. You study him, and Joseph was a man of isolation. He was a man of uncertainties. He didn't know what was around the corner. He was cast into the pit in the wilderness. By the way, never one time do you see Joseph getting bitter towards God. Never one time do you see Joseph getting bitter towards his brothers that did all this to him. And never one time do you see that Joseph is provoked to revenge. Here's what we do see. Joseph was cast in the prison in the wilderness. He was sold into Potiphar's house as a slave in a foreign land. He was lied on in Potiphar's house and cast into prison and left there to rot. And then he was passed over by the butler, if you will, forgotten completely, not even being mentioned to that which is Pharaoh. Then finally, he was placed in a position of power because God finally brought him out of the wilderness. It's got to be God. It's got to be God. God is the one that brings you out of your lowly state of, well, you know, it's my husband's fault, my wife's fault, it's my children's fault that I just feel so unconnected. I don't think I'd blame them, really. I really don't. I think what I would do is I'd spend time getting to know God and say, God, what are you trying to teach me? I'm in my wilderness right now. I'm supposed to rely on you. What are you trying to teach me that I have not yet learned? I'm not going to blame it on my husband. I'm not going to blame it on my wife. You're trying to teach me something. I'm not going to blame it on my parents. I'm not going to blame it on my children. I'm not going to blame it on my job. I'm not going to blame it on my neighbors. God, you're dealing, and by the way, watch this, God deals with each and every one of us individually. And he deals with you for your sake. For your sake. So Joseph expressed the desire to come out of the wilderness, but can I tell you, he expressed the desire, if you would please, to be delivered, but can I tell you, you're not going to get delivered until God says, okay, you've learned enough. Then I'll take care of you. Listen to it in Genesis chapter 40, verse 14. The Bible says, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, and I pray thee," listen to it, "unto me that make mention of me unto Pharaoh to bring me out of this house." He was even trying to find a way out himself. Hey, don't forget me now. I mean, I'm the guy that kind of interpreted that dream. I kind of helped you along a little bit here for you to understand what's going to take place. Don't forget me. And but God is the one that was stricken a man's memory so that you are forgotten, or so that you are remembered until we learn the lessons. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 19, the Bible says, "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not. He says, For I," listen to it now, "for am I in the place of God?" Watch it now in verse 20. He said, "But as for me, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring the pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Can you imagine? Joseph in the pit. "Man, I wonder why I'm in here. What did I do wrong? I love my dad. I love my mom. You know, I know I was kind of a pesky critter to my brothers, but I mean, after all, that's what brothers do. And I'm in this pit." Then he sold into bondage. "What in the world did I do now?" Then he has a woman to lie on him. I mean, tell a lie about. "What did I do?" Then he gets cast into the king's prison. "What did I do now?" You know, then he gets forgotten. "What did I do now?" But amazing thing about Joseph is the fact that he never allowed that to creep deep down. You ever seen somebody that's bitter? How do you know somebody's bitter? They never truly forgive. How do you know somebody's bitter? It's written all over them, all around them, and they just don't enjoy life. Now, can I tell you something? Watch this, if you will. Joseph, if anybody had a right to say, "God, this is not right, I'm bitter towards you," probably would have been Joseph. But Joseph said, "I realize the good hand of God put me here." Can you imagine? He's in the pit saying, "Thank you, God. I appreciate what you're doing." Can you imagine somebody might have an attitude just like that? Now, I'm saying this. Joseph knew it was for the glory of God. Sometimes Satan's goal is to deplete us of power, but God allows us to be isolated, sometimes even to protect us, so that we can be able to draw closer to God. Kansas City newspaper, it said this in a column: "If you're lonely, call me. I promise you I'll give you 30 minutes. I will not say a word, and I'll only charge you $5. People thought it was a hoax, but it wasn't. It was a lady that was very serious about helping people. They said that she would receive anywhere between 10 and 40 phone calls a day. And all she would do is answer the phone and say, "I'm here. Go ahead and talk." And when 30 minutes was over, she would say, "Here's where to send the check." And people would pay. They just wanted somebody to talk to. They say that most entrepreneurs are introverts. Some of the greatest CEOs that's ever gone into the business world in America has been introverts. 50% of all entrepreneurs that make it are introverts. They don't think that they have the inner strength or the ability to make decisions. Therefore, they're much slower in making decisions, which means they make more right decisions than wrong decisions, whereby they become some of the top people in the industry. Now, can I say this? If you're having trouble and just feeling isolated, run to God. Say, "God, I'm not judging you. You're not on trial. I'm not trying to push you into doing something. I just want you to know that while I'm going through this isolated time, I just want to get close to you. I just want to learn you more so that I can help others that go through the same thing. Because can I tell you, more people go through loneliness than you can shake a stick at. Father, help us tonight, I pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.